Hey, I'm John and this is your open source news Elements sponsored by Element.fm. Get unlimited podcast hosting for just $5 at Element.fm. Now to the news. Today we're diving into a fascinating and rather complex story unfolding in West Africa, specifically in Ghana. If you've been following international headlines or scrolling through your feed, you may have noticed Ghana's name popping up alongside terms like online prophecies, government regulation, and faith leaders. It's quite a dramatic saga involving social media, charismatic preachers, politicians, and tough questions about public safety and spiritual freedom. To give you a sense of where this all began, let's rewind a few decades, as far back as the 1980s really. During this period, Pentecostalism started to take firm root in Ghana, shaping the religious, social, and even political landscape of the nation. It wasn't long before charismatic preacher prophets became some of the most well-known, influential personalities in the country. Their ministries grew exponentially, often owing to their dynamic preaching styles, miracle claims, and prophetic declarations about everything from personal destinies to national events. Fast forward a few decades, and we find ourselves in a new era, the age of social media. Suddenly, these prophets have audiences not just in local churches but across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Their voices, once confined by geography and church walls, are now amplified to reach millions of people in Ghana and even beyond. This expansion has had a massive impact on Ghanaian society, for better and, at times, for worse. The influence of these leaders has grown to such an extent that a single prophecy broadcast online can go viral within hours, swaying public opinion, political discourse, and even shaping economic decisions. In 2025, the converging power of prophecy and social media reached a boiling point following a devastating helicopter crash. For those unfamiliar with the story, here's what happened. In August 2025, a military helicopter carrying several high-profile government officials, including Ghana's defense minister and environment minister, tragically crashed during a diplomatic mission. The loss sent shockwaves throughout the nation and grabbed international attention due to the prominence of the victims and the questions surrounding the cause of the crash. Almost immediately, a flood of pastors and self-proclaimed prophets took to social media, claiming they had foreseen the disaster. Some shared video clips and voice notes, allegedly recorded before the crash, insisting these tragedies were revealed to them in dreams or divine visions. Others posted vague predictions from weeks earlier, retroactively linking their words to the tragic event. The reaction from the public was intense, a blend of fear, confusion, and outrage. For some, these claims triggered genuine panic, leading to a wave of anxiety and speculation among citizens already coping with national mourning. Others were skeptical, viewing the sudden surge in prophecies as opportunistic attempts to capitalize on tragedy and expand influence. Against this charged backdrop, the Ghanaian government faced mounting pressure to take action. Authorities realized the viral spread of unverified prophetic claims wasn't just a cultural curiosity or quirk. It posed real challenges for public safety, mental health, and even national security. At the heart of this situation was the question: how far should faith and free speech go when societal well-being hangs in the balance? Enter Elvis Ankrah, Ghana's presidential envoy for interfaith relations. In the months after the helicopter crash, Ankrah led the charge to introduce new regulatory measures specifically targeting online prophecies. Under the proposed regulations, any prophecy intended for public consumption via mass media or social media platforms must first be submitted to an official review board. This body, composed of religious leaders, legal experts, and government representatives, will vet each prophecy for credibility, evidence, and the potential for public harm. Only after passing this scrutiny would prophecies be cleared for broadcast or publication. The aim is to foster accountability and prevent the kind of panic and misinformation witnessed after the accident. Ankrah voiced his skepticism about the legitimacy of many recent prophecies, suggesting that far too many faith leaders leverage public fear with scant regard for truth or evidence. "There is a difference," he explained in a recent press briefing, "between praying for a nation and making claims that directly endanger its peace or stability." The Ghanaian Police Service echoed these concerns, issuing public warnings. Their memo was clear: anyone posting prophecies that cannot be validated may now face criminal prosecution, including fines or even jail time for inciting panic or spreading false information. This announcement set off furious debates across boardrooms and coffee shops, churches and chat rooms alike. On one side, supporters applauded the move, viewing it as a necessary intervention to stem the rising tide of online misinformation. Surveys taken in the wake of the crash reveal a fascinating tension: Roughly two-thirds of Ghanaians, when asked, say they support some measure of divine intervention in politics. Prophecies for many are not simply religious novelties. They are cultural touchstones, a way of tapping into the spiritual dimensions of national identity and destiny. On the other hand, critics warn the new rules could easily cross into censorship, infringing on spiritual freedoms and stifling legitimate religious expression. They point to the sometimes blurry lines that separate voicing faith from making claims that can be measured or tested. After all, prophecy by nature is subjective. How can it be verified without compromising its very essence? These are not easy questions, and Ghana now finds itself in the global spotlight as it attempts to craft a balanced response. It's not just about legal reforms or new committees. It's about the deep and intricate relationship between faith, authority, and society. Critics and advocates alike are watching closely, not only from inside Ghana, but from across Africa and beyond. What makes this moment so significant is that the regulatory effort reflects challenges facing virtually every country in the age of social media and global information flows. Digital networks have shattered traditional barriers, allowing ideas, true, false, or somewhere in between, to travel with unprecedented speed and reach. In Ghana, prophecies now move at the velocity of tweets and viral videos, carrying not only hopes and prayers, but also the seeds of confusion, panic, or distrust. The government's intervention symbolizes the growing realization that unchecked online content can have profound offline consequences. In this case, the nexus is religion, a field with immense sway over hearts and minds, yet notoriously tricky for legislators to navigate. The regulatory response in Ghana can be viewed as a pioneering experiment, raising practical, legal, and philosophical challenges. How do you define a prophecy convincingly enough to make it subject to law, without trampling on the right to faith and free speech? Where do you draw the line between legitimate spiritual warnings and reckless sensationalism? Is it possible to protect the public from harm while still allowing people to believe and share their visions? The new system doesn't pretend to have easy answers, but it does represent a strong attempt to grapple with these complexities openly and institutionally. As the implementation gets underway, local churches, prophetic associations, and social media managers will all need to adapt their methods for sharing content. Many predict that some prophets may move their activities to closed groups, encrypted apps, or even underground channels where regulation is much harder to enforce. Tech platforms, too, are being urged to step up their monitoring of content originating from Ghana in light of new legal obligations. The ripple effect, expert observers note, could extend to regional cooperation, as other African governments consider adopting elements of Ghana's model. Ghana's experience may well serve as a live case study for nations grappling with the intersection of digital technology, religion, and national security. What happens in Accra may influence regulatory debates in Abuja, Nairobi, and beyond. Some legal scholars point out that, historically, African governments have sometimes wielded blasphemy and defamation laws as political tools. Here, though, the public justification leans heavily on safety, peace, and social cohesion, three values in high demand during turbulent times. But the test of the system will not simply be about passing laws, it will come down to how the rules are implemented in practice. Will scrutiny fall equally on all faiths and leaders? Or will politically inconvenient prophets find themselves targeted more harshly? Will social media companies face consequences if they enable unregulated prophetic broadcasts? How quickly can Ghana's review board respond to trending content in an age of viral memes and hashtags? For everyday Ghanaians, the debate stirs profound emotions. Many see prophecy as a crucial part of their cultural heritage, entwined with how communities process adversity, encourage hope, and explain the inexplicable. As one Accra resident put it in a recent interview, "In Ghana, we don't just read the news, we read the signs." Any government attempt to manage those signs is bound to touch nerves and spark soul-searching debates. Looking ahead, the coming months will offer clues as to whether Ghana's new framework delivers the promised stability or sparks new conflicts. Some sources suggest that compliance among prominent prophetic voices could actually boost trust in responsible faith leaders. Others fear the move may simply drive speculation and conspiracy theories further underground. Ghanaians, like people everywhere, are grappling with rapid change. How best to honor tradition and moral insight, while also protecting the broader public from unnecessary alarm and disruption? In a way, the regulatory debates unfolding in Accra offer a microcosm of modernity's greatest challenge, managing an explosion of information and belief in real time, with consequences that can reshape entire societies. The stakes are higher than ever before, precisely because the mechanisms of influence, digital and spiritual alike, are so potent and unpredictable. As Ghana experiments with regulation, the world will be watching. Lessons learned here may inform global responses to everything from pandemic misinformation, to hate speech, to more benign but still contentious claims of the miraculous or the mystical. Whatever your personal views on prophecy, regulation, or religious freedom, there's no denying this story's global resonance. As societies become more wired and more diverse, the path Ghana charts in the coming months may well set precedents for years to come. In the meantime, what can we take away from Ghana's journey so far? First, the lines between private faith, public discourse, and digital platforms are blurrier than ever, and these boundaries matter a great deal when the cost of chaos is so high. Second, government actions to mediate these frontiers will test not only legal frameworks, but the cultural resilience and adaptability of entire communities. And third, the issues at stake stretch far beyond Ghana's own borders. They touch on universal debates about the value of free expression, the risks of misinformation, and the sacred place belief occupies in our shared human experience. As more governments face similar dilemmas, the world will be forced to think creatively about how best to preserve both liberty and stability. Ghana's new regulatory approach is still in its infancy, and its long-term impact remains to be seen. But even at this early stage, it has thrown into sharp relief the power and peril of online influence, a lesson not lost on policymakers or the general public. In the end, the future of faith-driven content in Ghana, and perhaps globally, may depend on the careful calibration of rules, respect for tradition, and a shared commitment to the common good. All eyes are now on Ghana, as it charts a course through these murky waters. We'll be following every twist and turn here at Open Source News Elements. Thanks for listening.